broadcasting live worldwide.
Thank you for tuning in to
TCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Matt's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Matt, mothers and fathers align, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages. If you know somebody that needs a referral for a therapist, for an inpatient or outpatient rehab, for a program, whether they're suffering with or outside your neighborhood, whatever is more comfortable for you, feel free to call us at 718-758-0400. Maybe you want to write it down. I'll repeat the number. Maybe it's for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually would sit next to in shul. Our number again, 718-758-0400. You can call anonymous, and it's confidential. We are open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day, Friday until 2 hours before Shabbos, most day Shabbos till 11 p.m., and all day Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. So give us a call, and we'll describe a situation, and we will try and get you to the right professionals that could assist you in whatever you loved one, yourself, your spouse is struggling with. Some people stop me on the street and they say, oh, I thought you only do off the Zera, or I thought you only do addictions and teenagers. No, we are over 105,000 families that I've spoken to and try to assist over the years. We're coming up soon to our 24th year, and we do all ages, all stages, with all mental health issues. So don't wait until it becomes a big problem. Start young, call early, and we'll try and be helpful to you. So tonight, actually, I'm very honored to have with us a colleague that I know for so long, and that I sit with on a coalition to help with the South Brooklyn community, to help with addictions. We're trying to fight, you know, drug use, the misuse in the communities, and gambling, such an important issue that is not talked about in the from community, in the religious circles, enough. We must talk about this issue. And I am so happy to say that my dear friend Ashley Santangelo is on with us tonight from the Problem Gambling, the Brooklyn Resource Center. She's the team leader for Brooklyn and Staten Island. And I want to thank you for being on with us again. How are you?
I'm doing well, Ruhama. Thank you. How have you been?
I've been, you know, a struggle working all these months from home and back in the office, and we've been open all these months. We in fact, have been busier the last several months during COVID than all my 23 years, actually. Frightening, but so many people are struggling, like I said, with anxiety and underlying mental health issues that came out, being home, fearful of COVID, traumas, people dying. There's so much that's been going on over these many months. And one thing that we've gotten calls about, concerns about, that parents and spouses have been seeing more and more because addicted to gaming and gambling, talking about it more, open about it, playing cards online all day long, every extra moment. And it's frightening. We are in Zoom land now still for many and may continue. And there are summer months home together and parents who see that their children of all ages, they have married children that have moved in with them since Passover and they haven't left. And they find out that their sons or son-in-laws or daughters or daughter-in-laws, they are struggling with the issues of gambling. So let's get right to it. And can you tell my listeners more about the New York City Problem Gambling Resource Center, please? What is it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the Problem Gambling Resource Center, which I'll refer to, you know, as the PGRC throughout the course of the discussion, just because the acronym is easier. So the PGRC basically serves as the local the local hub for carrying out the mission of our larger statewide agency, the New York Council on Problem Gambling. And the New York Council Problem on Gambling has two primary objectives. One is to increase public awareness about problem gambling. So to do things exactly like I'm doing right now, going to the media, going to do presentations, sending out information on social media, spreading awareness about problem gambling as an issue, and to expand treatment and support options for people who are impacted by problem gambling. And this includes not only the individual themselves impacted by problem gambling, but the families impacted by it as well. And what that looks like is that in New York City, for example, you know, because these are statewide, but in New York City, we have a resource center through each borough, where each borough has its own network of therapists that we contract with, and the therapists already have an existing private practice and already have specialized training in treating gambling disorder and in treating significant others in how to cope with it. So if somebody is needing help in any of the five boroughs, they can reach out to our Problem Gambling Resource Center. And I know that MASC, your hotline and your organization has our information. So, you know, if anybody talks to you in MASC, if anybody gives MASC a call, they'll be able to refer anybody struggling to the Brooklyn PGRC so we can connect folks with help. You know, and we do have, if people have financial barriers, we can step in and help with that as well. So that does
fantastic.
Not have to be.
Yep.
Yeah,
and you are always available. And I know that you're available if there are questions, concerns, issues in programs that you to clarify. You can be available if people are struggling and want some answers that they aren't clear about what kind of therapy, what's best to work with, what programs are out there. These are all things to explore when somebody really is, addicted and ready for some, help to, empower their loved ones to get them the help they need. So a lot of times, and you know, a lot of a lot of times, there is an issue where family members go into denial first when it comes to gambling. Like, nah, they're just playing on their phone, or nah, they're just, you know, going to a game twice a week in the neighborhood. You know, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, you know, it's difficult, I think, for either individuals impacted or loved ones to face the fact that somebody they care about has a problem. And since gambling is a behavior that is very normalized in our society, it can be tricky to, I mean, some people don't even know that gambling can become an addiction. And, you know, or can cause the significant problems in people's lives that it can. So, you know, I think part of the issue is awareness of the problem, you know, not being widespread enough. And that's something that we are trying to improve. And then, you know, I think the other issue is just purely from the emotional and human side, that it can be really difficult, I think, for all of us to face painful truths on various issues, you know, addictions especially being one of them. So when people do reach out to us, whether they're a concerned family member or an individual, we always, you know, make sure that we validate you know, what an important step it is they're taking, because we know it's not easy to break through all of those things and make yourself vulnerable possibly for the first time and reach out for help. So we're aware of all of those things. You know, once people come to us for help, we're aware of the possibility that it might have been a long journey to get here and this might have been the first time. Or not, you know, it might not be the first time, and yet it's still difficult because it takes a lot of courage and a lot of clarity to be honest, sometimes, and to admit there's a problem. So we always approach families with care and concern when they're coming to us with this.
Right, but I do want to say, Ashley, that not everybody that, you know, goes to Atlanta City or plays on their own card games is an addict.
Oh, absolutely. You're absolutely right. You know, in terms of prevalence, right, if you look at, I think, you know, a recent study showed, if you look at New York State, for example, you know, studies show that up to maybe 5% of adults in New York State have a problem due to gambling. And that's a very small percentage. Of adults and a small percentage of adults who gamble. You know, and as far as we're concerned in terms of the types of gamblers that we try to help, you know, problem gambling is any type of gambling that causes a problem in the gambler's life. So we definitely make the distinction between recreational, you know, or social gamblers and people who gamble, you know, who have problems due to it. That's kind of the deciding factor. Like, is the gambling causing problems in somebody's life? And at that point, even if they don't have, you know, even if it's not to the point where it is a more full-blown gambling addiction, if it's causing a problem in someone's life, that's when we can step in for help. And we recognize that most people can gamble without consequences. But, you know, we want to raise awareness about what it looks like, you know, when people do develop problems because of it, and help them get connected to support so that they can work on it and hopefully build a better life.
So what are some of the signs that somebody might be struggling with this problem, and how can people tell if someone they know is really struggling as an addiction or going down that road?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's many signs that someone, you know, could be struggling with a gambling problem. Perhaps you notice that somebody is neglecting responsibilities to focus on gambling activities if they are more absent, let's say, from their family or more absent from work than usual. You know, that the time and energy given to focus on gambling activities could definitely be a red flag, you know, or maybe they're using money, and this is usually a big red flag. You know, are they using money needed for necessary expenses to go gamble? You know, if somebody, you know, let's say your spouse or, you know, somebody who you share the household finances with, if there are maybe gaps in those finances that are unaccounted for in any other way, that could definitely be a big sign. I mean, you know, some people get to the point where they even embezzle money from work, you know, if they have access to, you know, any kind of work finances. So those are some of some of the main warning signs to look out for if you work or live closely with somebody. And if it's somebody who you are actively gambling with, because again, you know, we recognize that many people can gamble socially and recreationally without it causing problems. But if you are in the presence of somebody who is gambling, some of the warning signs could be things like their reaction to loss. Right? You know, do they have a kind of amplified emotional reaction to the loss? Many people who gamble socially or recreationally, there might be a little bit of a disappointment when they lose, but typically, you know, if somebody has a problem gambling, the emotional reactions are more severe. And, you know, if you're gambling with somebody on a regular basis and you're noticing that they could be gambling with an increasing amount of money, you know, and placing riskier bets, like they up the ante more and more, that that definitely could be a sign of a problem as well.
So like I said, Ashley, phones have been ringing. We've been getting so many families that they're realizing their loved ones, their spouses, their daughters are doing things that are concerning to them in reference to a gambling mindset. And for some it isn't, and for some, like you said, it is. Have you seen changes in problem gambling patterns during COVID-19 pandemic?
That's a really great question. And we're still, and I think we are going to be for a while, getting more data from the community, you know, and as more calls come in about exactly about how COVID-19 has impacted problem gambling. But here's what we know so far. You know, what we do know so far is that despite the closing of casinos and, you know, the postponement of the professional sports season, problem gambling is continuing. You know, people who engaged in various types of underground gambling, such as the gambling that happens at poker houses, dice, and other games of chance, they're continuing to happen during the pandemic. You know, even though the casinos and sports seasons were temporarily closed. And even the casinos now, many casinos are offering online opportunities for gambling as well. So there is definitely still plenty of access to online gambling opportunities, you know, plus grocery outlets that sell scratch-offs and lotto tickets have still been open, and people are continuing to purchase them. So gambling, there has not been a break from gambling, you know, during this pandemic. And we are definitely concerned about how the increase of screen time, you know, has impacted particularly online gambling activities. We are hearing that there are new gambling options surfacing on the internet. You know, there's been reports of things like pop-ups on websites and emails promoting people to donate to a COVID-19 related charity for the chance of winning various items, right? So it's very similar to the online version of participating in a raffle, let's say, but it's masked under, like, you know, COVID-19 charity. So there's all sorts of, I mean, the internet is just opening up all sorts of new ways for people to gamble, and we're definitely concerned about how this is impacting people with gambling problems. And it's tricky to get the data about this because it could be such a hidden activity, right? I mean, you know, you have, and even with people who live with somebody else, like people couldn't notice, like, oh, they're spending a lot more time on the screen. But if they're gambling, they could theoretically be doing it without anybody in the household knowing. So it's a thing that has the potential to be a very hidden addiction. So it's hard to get information about exactly how many more people are gambling online. I know national studies say it's going up. Like I said, we don't have that concrete data locally, but we wouldn't be surprised if it was a concern. And from the data we are getting, you know, people are telling us that there are all of these, you know, new types of gambling opportunities popping up online. You know, we also have gotten some calls to the hotline, and I don't know if this is specific to online gambling, but we have gotten calls to our resource center of people who, for example, if there's some families who their head of household gambled away their stimulus checks or unemployment checks. So we're definitely, and again, I'm not sure if online gambling specifically was a component of that, but I think some of the, what we're seeing is that some of the financial difficulties that families are going through who have lost income due to the pandemic, some gambling problems within these families are coming to light in the aftermath of, you know, looking at all the finances, saying something's not adding up, you know, and then, you know, they learn that somebody in the family has a gambling problem, and they've come to our resource center for help once the financial problems from COVID kind of shed that light. So those are some of the things that we're seeing, you know, in terms of our conversations with community members and from the people who call our resource center.
So let's talk about raffles. I remember the last time I had you on the show, I told you that I was online in a store. It was Hanukkah time, and somebody came in, purchased 50 lottery tickets. And somebody online said, wow, that's a lot of lottery tickets. And, you know, my, you know, red flag. So my antennas went up. I wasn't even noticing that you purchased it. I was looking at something. And when that person addressed the woman and said, why are you buying 50 lottery tickets? Is that for you? And she says, no, I give them out for the holiday to my grandchildren. So let's talk about raffles and explain why raffles are considered a form of gambling, please.
Sure, I'd be happy to talk a little bit more about raffles. So gambling is defined as an activity where somebody risks something of value on a game of chance for a desired outcome, which is more money in a lot of cases, right? More money or a prize or something along those lines. So in most cases, so I'll repeat that just because it's so important. So gambling is defined as an activity where someone risks something of value on a game of chance for a desired outcome. And in most cases, the thing of value that somebody is risking is money. And regardless of the amount of money that somebody is spending on a raffle ticket, money is something of value. And the person is risking losing it, right? Because you could spend money on that raffle ticket and not get anything back. But the hope is that you will obtain a reward from the purchase of this raffle ticket, which is based on chance, and that you're not guaranteed to get. So even though betting on a raffle ticket is something that's often not even seen as a bet, and something that may appear more benign than other parts of than other types of gambling. For somebody with a problem, it can still be concerning because it stimulates the same part of the brain that gets stimulated when you place a bet on anything else, especially for people who have problems gambling, and especially for youth, because they're more vulnerable to any kind of impulsive or compulsive behavior that triggers that reaction. So that is why, kind of the technical reason of why raffling is considering, why playing raffles is considered a form of gambling. And it's especially concerning for, you know, people who have an existing problem with gambling or youth.
Right. So, again, not everybody is a gambler. Not everybody is addicted. And I just want to put it out here that we need to be aware. We need to be smart and watch what's going on with your children at home, with your husband, with your wife, with your brothers, your sisters, your daughters, your son-in-laws, your sons, your daughter-in-laws. We need to know what's going on now. It's the time you're home with them. And more and more people are realizing a lot of mental health issues that people are suffering, and they're calling MASC. Our number is 718-758-0400. And nip it in the bud. Learn about it. Pick up the phone. We'll give you people you can call. Ashley's available. Many people are available to help those that just want to know, do I need to be concerned? This is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm noticing. My spouse stays up till 3 in the morning playing cards or, you know, gambling somehow with friends, games. We need to know, is it an issue? Can it become an issue? So we're running out of time, Ashley. Do you want to give out your email address from the organization, please, so that people can visit and just become aware, at least, please?
Absolutely. So I can give the website for the organization and also our email contact. So the website is www.nyproblemgamblinghelp.org. It's a really great website. It has an interactive map, so you can just hover over it, over the interactive map, and find the contact information for your local problem gambling resource center. And again, if you call MASC, Rahama, you know, has and her team have access to all of our contact info as well. But again, that's www.nyproblemgamblinghelp.org. And if you ever need to email us directly, you can reach our team at New York City PGRC at nyproblemgambling.org. Again, that's New York City PGRC at nyproblemgambling.org. That will give you access to all of each of our boroughs PGRC. The citywide.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on again. I always like having you on. It's really an important topic that the Jewish community really needs to be speaking about more. And anyone that wants to have a program in their community, feel free to call us and we'll connect you to Ashley. Ashley, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Rahama. It's always a pleasure being here, and thanks so much for all the work that you are doing in the community.
Thank you, and I want to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbat, and always remember, hang in, hold on, and for now, we're still virtually hug tight. Thank you, and have a good night.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to
KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
This is Nathan Zalta, inviting you to join me on my brand new radio program, Erev Shabbat Live with Nathan Zalta, on 6:20 a.m. WSNR, this and every Thursday night from 9:30 to 10 p.m. Say Shabbat Shalom with Nathan Zolta, featuring the best in music, talk, and news. Once again, on 620 a.m. WSNR, also at talklinecommunications.com. Looking forward to sharing this time with you. Erev Shabbat Live with Nathan Zolta, 620 a.m. WSNR, Thursday night, 9:30 to 10 p.m.